Would you stand with me as we read the scripture this morning found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, reading from the New American Standard Bible. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Would you join me as we say together the model prayer from the Bible? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Someone said, when you come to a mountain, you have two choices. You can either go around the mountain, or you can climb to the top, look out over the view, and then climb down. You see, going around the side of the mountain is much easier, but then from the top, you miss the view. A little girl was promised the privilege of climbing to a nearby hill with her brother as they enjoyed the afternoon together. She saw her brother up on the hillside, and as she looked around, she saw it was steep, it was rough. She didn't see any smooth spots anywhere. She said, it's all just bumpy and stony. Her brother, who was much older than she was, he looked at her and he said, yes, it is bumpy and stony. But how else would we ever climb to the top if it wasn't? You see, the stones and the bumps are what get us there. And it's true in our lives, even in our times and our moments of affliction. And some of those God puts in our ways in order to grow us and in order to make us more confirmed to his image. Sometimes there are obstacles in our path. Sometimes those obstacles become stepping stones to the higher ground of the Christian victory and blessing. Many times life is like the hill the little girl climbed. We marvel as we look around at the bumps and the stones that we're forced to overcome as we travel through life, yet we fail to realize that everything that we face, God has a plan. And even as we struggle here, we're just heading up. I came across an article this week that said Super Bowl Christian players Patrick Mahomes and A.J. Brown thank God in their successes as well as in their adversities. It says in this particular article, Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes has been consistent in giving God the glory for his success, starting with his MVP acceptance speech Thursday night with, first of all, Mahomes said, I want to thank God for giving me this platform. In an interview following the Chiefs' win over the Bengals last Sunday, Mahomes began his interview with CBS's Tracy Wolfson by stating, first of all, I want to thank God. Man, he healed my body this week to battle through that. He gave me the strength to be out there. Such healing was needed for Mahomes. And whenever you look at this article, it said the Chiefs quarterback is not the only Christian in the big game making headlines for his faith in recent days. When Philadelphia wide receiver A.J. Brown was traded from the Titans to the Eagles during last year's draft, he cried. And as he described earlier this week, he now looks back on that trade and he sees the Lord's hand at work. You see, what stood out to me in this article about these athletes was that each one of them spoke about God and how that God was there. And when the obstacles, when the injuries, when the pathway was filled with stony bumps, then they realized that even in the midst of all of that, God was at work and God had a plan and God had a purpose. And in this passage for this morning that you and I looked at a few moments ago in Hebrews, these Hebrews were Jewish people. They were going through some tough times in their life. There were hard times. They were undergoing intense persecution. Many of them were being tortured, and many of them were being killed for their faith in Christ. And at the very least, they were ostracized from their community, and they couldn't even buy and sell like other people in the towns. You see, their faith became a daily struggle, and many of them just wanted to give up on their faith. Many of them wanted to give up on life. Some were very tempted to give up their public profession of their faith. Many of them just were willing to stop proclaiming that Jesus was in their life because in their situation, they felt it would be much easier. In this ever-changing world that you and I are living in this morning, based upon Pew Research and all of the various things that are out there, the Roy's Report, we see all the time that many are tempted today to live outside absolute faith in the Lord Jesus. We're tempted to look at every other source of help rather than turning to the great source who can help us. Let me tell you, God's plan is still that you and I live by faith. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it says, whatever is not from faith is sin. Hebrews 11, 6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Habakkuk in the Old Testament, chapter 2 and verse 4, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Let me tell you, in the world that you and I live in this morning, not to mention generations and generations of history past, but let me tell you, it's easy sometimes to lose faith. But what you and I must avoid is the temptation of falling into doubt. And what I want us to see this morning is why Jesus is worthy of our faith. Why Jesus is worthy of our faith. Why you and I can trust Jesus. You see, he washes away our sins. He gives eternal life to those who through faith reach out and call on him. You and I can trust in the worthiness of the faith that we have in this one called Jesus. There are three things that I want to share with you this morning. Jesus has the ability, first of all, to see your pathway. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This verse is expressly speaking about the idea of judgment. It reminds us that God keeps a perfect record, and one day God will execute swift and accurate judgment. Let me tell you this morning, as the book of Revelation tells us, God is going to judge this world one of these days. And that's why at every turn of the road, this world is trying best as it can to push God and the Bible and Christianity out of the way. But I want you to know God is constantly watching your pathway. Notice in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. There's a song that says, watching over me, watching over me. God is watching over me. So everything's going to turn out all right, for God is watching over me. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 10, 29 and 30 when he said, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. In Mark 6, 48, those disciples were out in a boat. They were out on the sea. A storm came up. Jesus was watching, and he sees them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. Jesus is walking on the sea. He intended to pass by them. But let me tell you, Jesus looked out. He saw the problem. He saw the strenuousness of their straining the oars to keep that boat from capsizing. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus sees your trials. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you having trials? Have you lost hope? Have you lost ground in your faith? Have you just wanted to absolutely throw up your hands in defeat and despair? Let me tell you, Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching, as the song says, from a distance. Jesus sees your trials. Jesus sees your temptations. Jesus sees the tears. Let me tell you, when A.J. Brown cried because he was traded, and he began to cry, let me tell you, Jesus sees your tears. The psalmist said in the 56th Psalm, verse 8, you've taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Let me tell you, God is watching. But something else, God is continually working out your path. Regardless of where your life leads, be sure that God is in control. Even when the world's out of control, God's in control. Let me tell you, we have seen recently on the football fields where people in the stadiums and people on the fields begin to pray and call out to God with Damar Hamlin. And in that situation, tragic as it was, God heard those prayers. God looked down. God was glorified in that situation that you and I saw, because God is the providential God, and God sees and God knows, and God's working, and God has a plan in every single life. Not everything that God does is pleasant, but I'm confident of this, that everything that God does is right. A little boy was playing with his sailboat at the edge of a lake, and the wind began to pull his little boat from the shoreline, and it was way out into the water, and he began to cry as it began to go farther and farther out into the water with the waves pushing it there. There was an older boy that came up to the scene. He picked up some stones, and he began to throw them over beyond the boat, and the little boy cried and said, what are you trying to capsize my boat? And the older boy looked at him and said, you don't know what I'm doing. I'm throwing stones on the far side of your boat so it'll create waves to bring your boat back to you. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Let me tell you this morning, even when you and I don't think so, God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows where to throw the stones in our lives. You see, those stones are not meant to defeat us. Those stones are meant to draw us closer to him, not to drive us from him. It was during World War II, and those that worked in metal, they began to test the steel that were being used to make the tanks for the American soldiers out there on the front lines. And as they tested that metal, they had to be sure that the metal was not too hard and not too soft as it would pass through those furnaces of great temperature. Tension would be applied to determine if there was a breaking point. There were checks that were taken to make sure that the armor of that metal would be bulletproof, and if any flaws showed up whatsoever in the steel, it would have to undergo more tampering. When it left the factory, it was fully prepared to withstand the stress that was demanded of it. And so it is with you and me as God's children. You see, in order to make us fit for His works and for the instruments of His praise, He puts us through some tough times in life sometimes. He puts us in the testing rooms of life. He puts us in the waiting rooms of life. But I want you to know God is confidently. He's waiting at the end of your path. Everything God does in our lives or allows to happen in our lives, it's His way of wanting to draw us closer to Him. Draw me nearer, as the song says, nearer, precious Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. A lot of things in life. Let me tell you, God is trying to mature us in our faith. He's tempering us through the furnaces of life to make us more confirmed and confined to the image of which we are created in. But there's something this morning. Not only does Jesus have the ability to see your pathway, let me tell you, sometimes the pathway is not very clear. There's a great fog out there in our lives. Any of you feel like you're in a fog of life this morning? Any of you feel like you've been put on hold this morning? Any of you feel like that you're wandering down a bumpy road of stones and nettles and all kinds of issues? I want you to know that God knows the path that He has for each one of us here this morning. Secondly, Jesus not only has the ability to see your path, Jesus has the ability to see your pain. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Let me tell you, He feels our pain. I'm sure this morning, those Ukrainian Christians, those Russian Christians, those Syrian Christians, those Turkish Christians this morning out there, with the thousands and hundreds being killed each day, those that are covered under the rubble of a 7.8 magnitude earthquake, under steel and concrete, that are there, lives that they've not even found yet. But I want you to know, Jesus looks down. Jesus feels the pain. Jesus knows what it's like as He looked out over a city of Jerusalem. When He came unto His own and His own received Him not. When He looked out over the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says Jesus wept. Let me tell you, He knows how to identify with you and me because He came to this earth. He identified as the God-man. He was both divine, but there was that human side that He identified with the pain and the suffering and the grief and the heartache of this world. No doubt, God looks down from heaven today upon a broken world, upon a fallen world, upon a world that has been cursed because of sin, which has created all of the problems in this life. No doubt God looks down upon a world with tears and compassion to see the hurt, that's happening all over the world this morning. Let me tell you, He is not only feels our pain, but He's familiar with our problems. Some people will say, well, how on earth can Jesus know what I'm going through? Let me tell you, He knows because He's been there. He's been there before. He was there at the cross. He understands what it's like to be rejected. He's able to know what you and I feel this morning. He's lived that human life. He's experienced the hardships that life has. Let me tell you, He understands temptations. The Bible tells us Satan came to Him three times and offered Him this world. But I want you to know Jesus in all of His divinity. Jesus was tempted yet without sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Jesus understands rejection. When I listened on 2020 this week, 48 hours this week, when I listened to all of the kids that are being bullied in the school systems today and on social media, as I listened to that situation in New Jersey where that little girl, Adriana, was bombarded by four people much bigger than she was, in the hallway, no one there to protect her, to help her. Then on social media, she was made fun of. 2 days after that, she committed suicide. Her brother was on television this week speaking about the incredible bullying that's going on among kids. Young people, don't ever get caught up in bullying. That's the coward's way. People who bully are cowards. People who do those things, it's demonic, it's ungodly. And let me tell you, all over the world, those things are happening. They had another mother on there doing an interview who had also lost her child because of bullying to suicide. Folks, let me tell you, the world that you and I live in this morning, the devil is alive and well. His demons, his minions are out there. And let me tell you, he's doing everything that he can. And the reason that he is because he knows his time is short. And if there ever was a time, as Keith and Sharon sing, if there ever was a time in all the world that the world needs Jesus, the world needs Jesus today. Let me tell you, Jesus understands rejection. I mean, all of those disciples that had walked with Him for 3 years, I mean, you know, Peter denied Him the night before the crucifixion three different times. Those disciples all left the cross that day. They were scared to death. John is the only one that hung around. Those disciples walked away from Jesus. He had done everything for them. But let me tell you, when the going got tough, when the heat was turned up a little bit higher, those disciples walked away, hid away for fear they would be next. John 6:66 says, as a result of this, many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. Let me tell you, Jesus knows what it's like to have the world turn its back on you. Jesus understands what it's like to have God turn His back. Look at Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let me tell you, Jesus endured these things so that He might help you and me and be a present help to us in our time of need. Jesus understands poverty and need. Jesus looked on the crowds with compassion. He fed hungry people. Jesus understands grief. Jesus cried. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus understands loneliness and depression. He knows what it's like to be alone there in the Garden of Gethsemane. When those disciples had all gone to sleep that were there the night before the crucifixion, as he knelt, as this stained glass window up here in the baptistry shows, Jesus knelt, Jesus prayed. Let me tell you, Jesus was forsaken. Jesus was forgotten. Jesus knows what it means to feel alone. Jesus understands what it means, young people, to feel unloved. Jesus understands all that. And you see, Jesus is worthy of our faith. He has the ability to see your pathway. He has the ability to see your pain. But thirdly, he has the ability to solve our problems. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, we are so guilty in the world that we live in of trying to seek help everywhere but from the Lord. We try, we worry, we pity. We do all of the self-efforting things that we can do and whatever beyond that. And then when all else fails, we run to Jesus. We look to him. You see, here's God's plan for me and you when in trouble. Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God." The peace of God. Let me tell you, it's not the peace of the world. The world doesn't have any peace this morning. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Let me tell you, when Hebrews was written, those that were in power, enthroned in power during those days, they held sway over the issues of life and death. Earthly kings possessed great power, but all their power combined would not be one-inch of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this morning, what kind of power does Jesus have? He has exceeding power, Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Jesus has need-meeting power. You have a need this morning. Look at Ephesians 4:19. "And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." But Ephesians 4 tells us also, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." He has cleansing power. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Let me tell you, Jesus has healing power. Jesus has healing power. And you may say, "Well, Pastor, but not everybody gets healed. Not everybody gets healed physically." That's true. But let me tell you, when we die, we're healed. We're healed of all of the things that come against us. Jesus has load lifting power. Let me tell you, there's people all over the world this morning that feel the heavy load of this life. Jesus said, "Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus has mountain moving power. Let me ask you a question. Is there a mountain in your life this morning? Is it an insurmountable mountain that you cannot get across, you cannot go around, you cannot seem to go over? Let me tell you, Jesus spoke about a mountain in Matthew 21:21. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith," what is faith? It's the reality of something you hope for. but the evidence of something you haven't seen. Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what's done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it will happen. Jesus has all power. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. When you and I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me tell you, he has all authority that's been given to him in heaven and earth. Let me tell you, Jesus has promised to be with us. Let me tell you, oftentimes we forsake him, but he does not forsake us. Questions this morning. Have you been tempted lately to lose your faith? Have you felt the weight of this world with all of its issues coming at you in all different directions and you just want to give up? Does it seem that the load that you're called to bear gets heavier and heavier? Maybe Satan or somebody foolish out there has just encouraged you to go ahead and give up. Like Job's wife that said to Job, just curse God and go ahead and die. Let me tell you, don't give up. Come to Jesus. He's ready. He's willing. Let me tell you, if you and I will trust Jesus with our problems by faith, he'll never fail us. Maybe there's something you need to bring to Jesus right now. I want to close with this. In an article I read this week, it said the creative brilliance and power of the one who made us is on display everywhere we turn. If only we have eyes to see, someone said to me this morning, I'm grateful I've got eyes to see what's going on in the world. For example, listen to this. A recent galactic photo shoot captured more than 3 billion stars and galaxies. Astoundingly, this is only 0.15% of the 2 trillion galaxies that are out there in the universe. 2 trillion, young people. Your Lord made all of them, and he holds them, according to Isaiah 40, verse 12, in the palm of his hand. From the transcendent to the immanent, according to National Geographic, your circulatory system is more than 60,000 miles. This is more than twice the equatorial circumference of this planet. And get this, your heart beats 100,000 times a day, 40 million times a year, and up to 3 billion times in your lifetime. Jesus made all of that when he made you and me. Colossians 1:16 says, by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And what's more, his omniscience and omnipotence are available to all who seek his wisdom and his strength. This is because, unlike every other figure of history, the living Lord Jesus can be known personally by anyone who wants to make him their Lord and Savior. Buddhists do not claim that they can know Buddha. Muslims do not claim to know Muhammad, but Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me. Do you have any problems this morning? Take them to Jesus. Tell them to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we pause this morning, we pause in gratitude and gratefulness that you are the God of all of those things. Incredible to know of the trillions of galaxies out there. And poor, fickle man cannot see it. No wonder your word says man's ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. To think about our circulatory system being that many thousands of miles. To think that this muscle that you put in our chest beats that many times a day, that many times a year, that many times for a lifetime. Oh God, how sad, how pitiful it is that man thinks that he's God. Now he's trying to play God. Nobody knows what a woman or a male is supposed to be anymore. But God, I love it. You've never changed it. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word says that it is forever established. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. No wonder the Bible says that you sit in the heavens and laugh. Oh God, the would-be's of this world who think they're enthroned and in charge are going to find out one of these days who's in charge. But it'll be forever too late for them. Father God, I pray for all that are listening, if there's someone that's never trusted Christ, to reach out through faith. The reality of something we've not seen, but something we hope for. Something, God, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Father, if there's someone here this morning that just needs to come and pray for whomever, whatever, someone that needs a church home, Holy Spirit, this is your invitation. It belongs to you and you alone. This invitation does not belong to any man. It only belongs to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've tabernacled in our midst this morning. Thank you, God, that we've seen how that nothing is hidden from your eyes. You see the good and the bad. Oh God, as you look down upon this fallen, broken, sinful world that has rejected you, oh God, Holy Spirit, how I pray that as you encircle this world, that you're all over the world, trying to move hearts from callousness to consciousness of a God who came, who died, who shed his blood for the remission of sins, was buried, who arose over death, hell, and the grave, who ascended to heaven and is coming again. The gospel in a nutshell. Holy Spirit, move within our hearts to help us live better lives, greater lives, more productive, fruitful, faithful lives, conform to your image. Oh God, I pray this morning for this world, for these kids. Oh God, as they go to school and they deal with all of these crazy things that are going on, the bullying, the rejection, the loneliness, the depression, suicidal ideology, struggling to wonder what is all this transhumanism that they're talking about on the TV, all of this transgender issues, all of this mutilating of the body issues, and all of the confusion that it's cast upon our world. Oh God, I pray for these kids. Holy Spirit of the living God, envelop them. Keep them, oh God, close to you. And may they know that you're a present help. in time of trouble. God, be with them, I pray. Father, you've heard the words we've spoken today. We've read your word, and now we trust you for whatever decisions are made visibly or invisible to our eyes. God, you know each heart according to your purpose, according to your plan. Speak, Lord, I pray in Christ's name.